Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool, is it shit?
Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit?
Welcome to the editors meeting.
So this is episode
50.
Now we're actually on episode 50. Which is a great number. And I said it was a great number last week, but I was wrong because it wasn't actually episode 50 last week. It's episode 50 this week. So I need to address that first.
But we didn't clap last week, did we?
No, we didn't. But also, James wasn't here last week. So it's just proved that as soon as he's away, everything goes to shit. I get things wrong. We all get things wrong. So I'm actually not supposed to be hosting this week. We've had a bit of a switch up and a change of plan for the Cool Shit Podcast going forward. Because we love Gareth so much, we're inviting him back to be a permanent guest. Now we clap again.
Woo! I thought he was going to be a host.
That was a kind of a little more uncomfortable clap.
We're working out.
So yeah, no, we're getting Gareth back because Gareth, Gina and James, it just works. Gina and James sometimes works. Gina and Gareth sometimes
and
works.
And Pablo's here too.
No, I'm going to intro Pablo, don't
worry. How did you get a ticket to the 50th edition?
Good question. Do I get a clap though?
You do get a clap.
I'm not clapping for
him. He edits all the podcasts, so it's great to have you.
Yeah, last week he edited it pretty badly.
Yeah, sorry about that.
You mean he tries to edit the podcast?
Pretty bad, Pablo. Pretty bad.
So what I'm going to do is hand it over to Gareth, who is going to be hosting this week, which again, wasn't the actual plan because we don't know how us three are going to slot in together, but he hasn't got a story, so.
You know when like Liverpool's front three where they kind of interchange and stuff, we're gonna do a bit of that. You'd be a false nine.
Okay.
That could make sense. Yeah,
I just wish I had teeth as white as Bobby Firmino, but anyway. Pablo.
Oh, that's my name.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm pretty good, man, thank you. Yeah, how are you doing?
Not too bad. Again, how did you get a ticket for this?
You know what, I have no idea. Someone must have
made a mistake.
I invited him.
Did you?
Yeah, he's my plus one.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, but me and James both said Pablo like
at the same time.
Oh, well.
Did you?
So much, yeah.
That was an answer to the question, who's the biggest dickhead in the agency?
But also, going back to the fact it's number 50, Gareth, this podcast was, you know, something you created. How does it feel knowing we've made it to episode 50? Like, do you think it's been successful? Like, are you proud of this?
I'd like to say at this moment, I did not create this podcast. I worked with our team to create something with James and a wider team. But no, 50 is a really good number, I think. If you want to catch up, go and work out what's happened in the last year and a half. It's a good way of doing it.
It's a lot, yeah. You've aged in that time.
So have you. You used to look good.
I have a mustache now.
Yeah. Yeah, James got a mustache now. Pablo's
just out of kindergarten. When we started this.
He's almost graduated to the proper toilet now.
All right, James.
Yeah.
Here's with the first story. What's happening this week?
Gina, I know you're a big fan of the dating apps, so I chose this story just for you.
Don't embarrass me. I actually saw James on Hinge and we matched.
Did you?
We did. And then he told me that it's an ick that I have liberal in my bio.
And yeah, and I think you had your vaccination status in
no,
there.
No, I did not. I have my vaccination status. Absolutely piss off.
All right, should we get on with it? So I was going to start this segment by rating all of your looks out of 10, but that won't be necessary, fortunately, because AI can do it. So Mischief, who we should all be familiar with by now, have just launched Hot Chat 3000.
That name.
The first 2,999 weren't that good, but this one's all the rage. It's a dating app that uses AI technology to rate you out of 10, which is already a bit fucking weird, and then it only allows you to chat to people who are rated the same as you.
Same score. So you get matched.
Yeah,
based
this
on...
sounds like for utter vain dickheads.
I did it earlier.
Yeah, what did you get?
I got a fucking 5.
I got a 5.
What? So me and you would have matched on there.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You two keep getting
there
matched.
I think there
is something about this podcast that we need to discuss.
Wait, what were you? Five what, though? Because it was a decimal, wasn't it?
I screenshot it. One second. I think I was 5.6.
Oh, maybe. I was 5.9, I'm afraid. Oh, no, it's funny, actually. I did it, and I got my 5.9, and naturally I thought, well, this must be some sort of mistake. Yep. So I uploaded another photo, and I got a 4.2.
Yeah.
Pablo, did you do yours?
I did do mine. I got a 4.5.
Okay.
Again,
okay.
The app's fucking broken.
Oh, is it?
It is.
It must be. I mean, I think it's utter bullshit. Like, number one, let's get the moral issue out of the way. You fancy Kendall from Succession, don't you?
Kendall Roy.
What's his name in real life, the actor?
Jeremy Strong.
Yeah, exactly.
I love him.
There you go. And do you think that Kendall would get a 10 on
that? No, definitely not.
Because you like his character, you like his charisma, you like parts of, you know, his who nose. He is rather than how he looks, yeah? There's an effervescence to the way humans date and what that means. And I don't think that this is a very healthy thing, because I haven't really looked into it, but I assume what it's doing is on symmetry. Like the more symmetrical your face, the better looking you are.
Well, it's something like that, because there's been these kind of like calculations before of like how you can have the perfect face and the proportions and all of that. But I think this is basically a more complex version of that, because now this AI program has basically got a bank of all of the faces that are deemed beautiful according to conventional beauty standards and gives you a score according to those.
Essentially, it's going to match if you're a 10, right? You're going to be matched with other people that are seemingly 10s, right? That's just a very vapid, weird way of dating. I can guarantee you, most people, you only got to look at the pictures and you'll see it, that are married, yeah? There's always one more good-looking person than the other person, yeah?
Which one's the better one to be?
The better-looking one.
I think it's better to be the ugly one.
Well, I'd like to say, in my relationships, I always take the left-hand side seat.
This is kind of similar to any other dating app, though, in my head, because
they already do it a bit, don't they? Like, yeah. Isn't there like an algorithm?
There's an algorithm
on like even just Hinge, for example. It gives you like your most compatible, which I think is probably partly based on whether you put liberal in your status or whatever.
No, mine are shockers.
But I think it's also a kind of relation of how many people like say yes to you and how many people say yes to them, because that way you're compatible, because like the same amount of people find you attractive. What Mischief do? They do these kind of novelty kind of PR stunts. You're meant to have that reaction to it and you're meant to think this is shit, but it actually draws attention to the fact that this is already kind of happening with real dating apps.
But I think that's good though, because they've done this to prove that beauty standards do exist and machine learning models learn those. There's a bias.
Like, yeah, I also understand, but then I also think that beauty standards go in trends. Like, if you went back to say 2005, like having a big ass wasn't a thing, right? And by an algorithmic beauty standard, having a skinny little bottom was a thing to have.
Skinny
yeah
little bottom.
Yeah, it's like James, he's got a skinny little bottom.
No, they call me Jimmy Cakes, actually. Yeah.
He's been squatting, I've seen. Yeah.
So I think, like, you know, beauty is still part of a trend. I get there's a, you know, the symmetrical.
I was going to say, this is just your
the
face.
Symmetry of
it's
your face.
It's an interesting point, though, because I was going to make the same point that, like, beauty standards change, and that if you're in Tudor times, you want wide, childbearing hips, which people don't care about so much. But I wonder how much kind of, I don't know, facial beauty standards have changed. Probably a bit, because a plump face used to be better because it showed that you were rich, for example.
Exactly. So, there's loads of things that are attached to status and fashion, you know, what's on vogue, which I think still applies to beauty, right? As vapid or as, you know, contemporary or on point as that might be. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I think that's what happens in sort of societal norms.
Pablo, if you were single, would you be using this?
Honestly, yeah, maybe.
Oh,
I don't see it as that big of an issue. It's kind of what James said. Like, at the end of the day, the algorithm is assessing how beautiful you likely are based on people's reactions to your profile. It might just save you some time.
That's exactly what I was about to say. It could just save some time. But I think the issue is that people don't just, like, kind of what you said, they don't just date within kind of the category that they supposedly should be in the same way that, like, people who are 5'4" don't go with people who are 5'4", like, and you kind of can't help what you're into. But for like a majority of people, it might actually work, because it is probably rare that you get someone who's absolutely stunning who has a real thing for uggos.
No, but again, speaking of beauty trends, medium ugly men, like, that's a thing. A lot of girls like men that are the best looking. They're medium ugly.
What's the reason for that, do you think?
I don't know. There's something attractive about them. Like,
they
you know
won't
when,
leave you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. They won't cheat on you because
they're a bit more needy.
Not even that, because they're just not like that too good looking, and you're again probably the better looking one.
I bet, yeah, but question
what people
if, want. Okay, they don't want a partner that's better looking than they are.
Or just like absolutely like gorgeous.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Maybe they don't want the attention
attractive.
Taken off of them.
Yeah,
it's not even that though. So there is something attractive about someone that is just not that good looking.
Do you think someone who's not that good looking has been forced to develop a better personality as well, and then that can make them kind of better looking?
Potentially, yeah, yeah. Like, look at like little dogs like pugs. They are ugly, but people find them so cute. You get medium ugly men. Some men are like so ugly that you actually think they're attractive.
Pablo, you are not a 4 point whatever the fuck that was. You're a 9.9 with that Lego hair from the 70s, whatever that is, on your head.
Thank you, man.
It looks nice on you, don't worry.
James, what else have you got then?
Are we all familiar with the kind of caterpillar cake wars that's been rumbling away for the last couple of years?
Who had the first
M&S is calling the caterpillar.
It's like a staple of British culture.
I was explaining to Pablo earlier on, like, it's kind of like an office birthday, like you could bring it in, like a kid's party, you could bring it in.
Yeah. It's
like
kid,
any occasion.
It's a kid that you don't like that much, you'd get them a calling the caterpillar cake.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then Aldi bought out Cuthbert the caterpillar,
shit
which was
name,
which
by
was
the
obviously yeah. Sorry, which is obviously just like a
no
a
one
knockoff.
No one listening to this podcast, Tina. It's called Cuthbert.
My
but anyway, Cuthbert, if you are,
my
I'm
mum's
sorry.
Actually called Cuthbert. I don't know if it ever got to the point of a sort of cease and desist or whatever it's called, but M&S supposedly didn't take it very well and said they're ripping off their intellectual property. And Aldi, as they often do, sort of steered into this to be the cheeky tone of voice brand. And now they've followed up. This was a war that was on Twitter for ages.
It was actually a lawsuit as well.
It was actually a lawsuit.
Yeah, no, so what was the outcome?
M&S filed a lawsuit against Aldi, but then a month later, Cuthbert returned to the shelves with a few minor tweaks to his facial features so he doesn't look so much like Colin.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And the pair settled their lawsuit after reaching a confidential agreement. Do you think it's like a PR stunt or something?
The budget supermarkets take a lot of money off the big grocery stores competition-wise. If they agree with Marks and Spencer's, which I believe must have happened here,
we will
give you a certain amount of cash so that we can keep selling Cuthbert. I feel like off the back of every Cuthbert sold, they're giving money to Marks and Spencer's.
That's
an agreed figure around that.
I don't know if it's that, but
you
like...
You just changed the face.
When this was happening, it just kind of promotes both of them in a way, and I... I feel like Aldi wanted there to be a lawsuit so they could do the sort of David Brent, oh, the man don't like it or whatever kind of thing. I think BrewDog did a similar thing where they claimed like they had like an advert that said like, and it was like FCK CO2 that got banned by the Mr. Advertising Standards, whatever. And then that just gives them more of an opportunity to kind of PR it even more and say, oh, we're trying to do this great thing, but they won't let us. So I don't know. Originally, I thought it was similar to that.
Right, okay, so that's the background. What's the story
but
there?
What's happened, basically, it was always just a sort of trading tweets, but now they've actually made a TV advert.
We like this chocolate caterpillar cake, don't we, Wiggles?
We do, Cuthbert.
And we like this one, don't we, Morris?
Oh, yes, Cuthbert.
I think it's great because, like, it gets to the point very quickly that Aldi is willing to stand out, be cheeky, grab attention. Even the way the supers come on at the end. What's the line it says at the end there, James?
Aldi, like M&S, only cheaper.
Yeah, like yeah, M&S, only cheaper.
Yeah. Which I think I think that's a great line. Mm. It's really simplistic and it makes you understand. So just in case you didn't understand, it's a Cuthbert, the caterpillar party, with everyone dressed up like Cuthbert. And then there's this Orcs moment where another caterpillar walks in and they're like, oh, it's Colin, piece of cake. And I really like that line that they put after it. I mean, I don't think I was lolling out loud, but I thought it's a strong way of capturing attention and building an affinity with Aldi going, oh, you cheeky mofos. I like that. And then bear in mind, when you go into an Aldi, part of their affinity that you have with them and their marketing strategy is that they are ripping off products. You look at their Diet Coke and it is quite funny. You're like, oh my God, that looked just like Coke. Oh my God, that looks just like Shreddies or whatever. Replace Orangina, whatever you want to think of, they've got. That's not just them kind of signaling exactly what product it's supposed to replicate. I think it's great marketing because you're like, oh, you cheeky fucks. Oh, look what you've done, you naughty little things. And I think that plays well to the general public, which that advert plays into.
I kind of agree with most of what you're saying, but I think a lot of what you're saying about why it's good kind of is about the strategy and the thinking behind the idea rather than the idea itself. And my main issue with the idea of the execution is that I find it just really kind of painfully unfunny, which I think is sort of proven by the silence in the room as we were watching it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It really doesn't work for me. I find it quite cringeworthy. There's a certain narcissism in assuming that people know the story of Colin versus Cuthbert, because I think that kind of adds to this. If you don't know that and you don't know about Aldi's kind of existing like market position or tone of voice on Twitter, I don't think it does much for you. Like, I had a good kind of focus group of this because I was back home over the weekend and this advert came on and my mum and dad both saw it and both just kind of said, what the fuck was that? That was awful.
So you don't think it's in the execution? Pablo, as someone that is fresh to the Caterpillar Wars, what are you saying?
I kind of agree with both of you. It's true that it's an effective way of grabbing attention of a certain group of people. I've seen comments online, people think it's savage and super cool, but also it's not very funny.
Yeah, that's the main issue.
It comes off a bit dishonorable.
No, you've lost me there.
Because when you read up on the history, the Caterpillar Wars, it'd been settled, right, to some degree, and then Aldi comes in and does this price match thing.
That's what I love. That's the part of it that's really, like, interesting. Like, we've been to court over this thing. Fuck you! We're back! I quite like that.
It's funny, and I do quite like that idea of playing on something where you got in trouble and then steering into that. But the thing is, I don't think they ever got into trouble, and it's kind of a bit self-congratulatory. Ooh, aren't we cheeky? And, like, that thing of, like, oh, this is so savage. No, it's not, right? What I thought was a better example of that was, you know, BrewDog got in trouble for the gold can thing, and they had to pay, like, £500,000 because they said it was a gold can, and it wasn't. It was gold-plated. There was a radio ad on the other day from BrewDog where they were kind of saying, gold-plated cans are coming back. They're definitely not gold. They're gold-plated. We're really, really sorry. And I thought, oh, that's actually better because they're being cheeky about something that did genuinely piss people off, which to me is brave in a way that this isn't.
Again, on the example you've given there, you really have to know the history again. I don't think that's going to really play with someone that doesn't know it. Gina?
Well, I was just wondering why James bought it if you hate it.
Oh, it's a talking point.
Because it's a talking point, and it's something that's pretty well known, and I've seen it on TV quite a few times now, and I feel like people within the industry, like if you go on any of the kind of the drum campaign, everything, yeah, it's everywhere at the moment. So I thought it was interesting.
What's the consensus?
People like it.
But
yeah, right, fine. Do you know what we should do though? Let's do a blind taste test.
Good shout.
That could be the next Culture Club idea. Yeah. I ain't thought of anything, so let's just eat some cake, guys.
I should say if it was like a Stills campaign. I'm showing the closing screen here. Aldi, like M&S, only cheaper on cakes that look like caterpillars. I think that all of that's great. It's just the
execution.
Exactly. And I feel that the comedy of kind of awkwardness only works well if it's something that's really excruciatingly awkward, like the in-betweeners or the office or something. Whereas this is just like,
Well, you heard it here first. The little chief is not a fan.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Habs, what you got?
So I just thought I'd keep bringing AI into the conversation because it, you know, it never leaves our news feeds, so we might as well.
And to be fair, it's not leaving the big news feeds either. This week, I can think about three stories at the top of my head that are, you know, running on big news channels. So, keep going.
So one of the biggest ones this past week was that scientists have invented a language decoder that can translate a person's thoughts into text using an AI transformer similar to ChatGPT.
Can you explain, or is there a video, or is there anything where you've seen this happen, or how it's happening?
Basically, they put people in an fMRI machine for 16 hours, and they basically...
Oh, fucks.
Yeah,
I know. 16 hours? Jesus
Christ. Did they get paid? Were they volunteers?
I'm sure they must
I'm assuming they were. They were basically shown a bunch of recordings, films, and scanned their brains while they were processing this information, ran it against language model databases, etc., that the AI was already familiar with, and then hiding the actual contents that the people were watching or listening to from the AI managed to look at the brain activity and correctly guess what the people were watching, listening to, or thinking at that moment.
And mainly, it was nice boobs.
that's what they'd find if it was James.
Literally said nothing.
Sure, whatever. What am I meant to say? No, they wouldn't. I wouldn't be thinking that.
Why'd you
stop it? Stop reading my thoughts.
They're not that nice anyway.
Where was this published?
It was University of Texas in Austin.
What do you think the point of this is, though? I'm struggling to understand.
What's the point of reading people's minds?
I think this is a real dangerous precedent, because if you've got a partner, the amount you have to lie to them just to get by, and if our thoughts...
Oh, my God, Gareth.
Especially if you're the uglier one as well.
We're all fucked. It begs the question, though, doesn't it? Like, on just telling the truth. If our thoughts, you know, in the future can be literally read. So you go into a job interview, they go like, why is there a big gap in your CV? And you're like, oh, that's because I went traveling for 3 months. Your head, it's like, because I was sacked from my last job because I'm an absolute loser and I hate work and I don't want to be here. Like, you know,
if we're gonna point at me then
do you know what I mean? Like, it feels to me like there are thoughts you want to keep in your head, and if there are things in the future that's going to be able to read your mind, it seems to me like a dangerous path, because it seems that we'll have our freedoms at some point taken away from us. Mind reading scares the shit
but
out
actually,
of me.
That's what, it's almost like if you ever kind of stop and pay attention to your thoughts, like, you realize that you have the brain of a crazy person, because the amount of thoughts that you actually kind of register or act upon is kind of infinitesimally small compared to the amount of thoughts just going around your head, just random words. So like, if this were to come into play, it would almost be like the equivalent of like everybody having Tourette's, for example. Your frontal cortex is what suppresses parts of your brain that think of whatever. Like, say for example, you're in a meeting and you think, I might just fucking throw everything off this desk. Like, you're never actually going to do it, but if someone heard that thought, they'd be
now
like,
now we know what James is thinking in a meeting.
Exactly, my intrusive thoughts are out of control. Like, I'm having them right now, Gareth, when I'm looking at
you. Oh my god, no one make eye contact with James right now.
I wonder, like, and again, this is early doors. It seems like a really crap experiment, I've got to say. Like,
yeah, I'm
you
not
got like 16.
I like it.
It sounds very like Clockwork Orange to me, like, you know, forcing people to watch stuff.
Actually, that's the point. So I'm just thinking now, what's interesting is like, because it's not just that you can read other people's minds, because you can't even read your own mind. Like, no, that's kind of what I was saying, like, because there's just thoughts
if
happening.
If you got good, yeah. Obviously none of us are neuroscientists, but yeah. I'm sure that we have to work with AI through prompts these days. And like you say, James, there's loads of thoughts floating around your head. You don't not even aware of until you catch. But I think there's probably very strong prompt thoughts, as in like, I'm going to open that door, or we should do this, or I'm going to say this now, yeah? Which probably are more formed and would probably be easier to read, right? I don't know.
You'd imagine so. The thoughts that actually kind of then lead to action rather than the
exactly.
Kind of the ethereal ones just floating around.
Prompting your
body
to do
something.
Because
you say until you catch them. I think there's some that you never catch. Like your brain activity, for example, you don't think about blinking or breathing, for example. Like it just kind of, the amount of stuff that just happens automatically in your brain is
it'll
enormous.
Be too much to catch, yeah. Try yeah, and listen exactly. To that breeze, walk.
I wish I didn't mention you don't think about blinking, because I'm thinking about blinking.
Gina, what
speaking
do you think?
Of blinking.
What?
I was gonna
oh, wow, well done.
Do you like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Shaking the piss.
No, that was good.
Yeah.
You got a story about blinking?
I have a story about Blink 182.
Oh.
Loosely. I mean, we can go if you want.
Yes, go on.
Because I don't
we're
actually
out.
Care
we're
too
out.
Much. So, I'm so sorry, Pablo.
I liked it, Pablo. I liked
James
it.
Liked it. I'm just not I'm bored of AI-related stuff. It's probably going to take over the world. I don't care. Everyone familiar with who Travis Barker is? He was the lead drummer for Blink 182. And then I feel like people know him a bit more now because he got married to Kourtney Kardashian, and they're like madly in love. They have a bit of a weird relationship. They love PDA. Anyway, this isn't the story. He's basically got a collab with Liquid Death, which the only reason I know what this brand is, it's a sparkling water / water brand, is because I was in New York a few weeks ago and I drank it, and I thought, this is an awful name, awful
really?
Brand.
Really?
For water.
Oh, I think that's the point though. That it's meant to sound so extreme and it's just
yeah,
water.
And it
yeah.
Caught my attention. I was like, what the fuck is this? But it was really nice water, very fizzy. Anyway, Travis Barker has done a collab with them where you can get a collectible. Is it enema?
Yeah, enema.
Yeah, enema kit. So if you aren't familiar with what an enema is, it's where you like flush your bum out with water.
Me and Gareth know an awful lot about enemas.
We
why is that?
We do, yeah.
So we should explain that. It's in relation to some work we've
work
been doing.
Trip. Fair enough. Yeah, so he's done this kit. It's $182. You get the little squishy balloon thing, which you
the bulb.
That bit, which you actually like push the water in your bum with and clean it out with the pressure, and the can
a douche,
of water.
Which
that's
is why,
it.
Oh. Which is why, like, I didn't realise you get a douche bag.
Yeah.
That's literally it. What you just described, right? That's
yeah,
a,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because you douche your bum.
But that's something that kids say. They don't even know what they're saying. Get out of my way, you douchebag. Like, do you know what just said?
They've actually called it an enema bulb. $180. But it's actually not a real one. You can't actually use it. So
well, you can't. No, that's the thing. You can't. It is a real one. But they've had to say please don't shove this up your arse.
Then what's the point? What's the point of it? He's got.
There's no point of it. That's silly.
But this is the issue, is that I think.
That's crap then.
You watched the advert, didn't you? And it gets to the end. And then it does all of this, the kind of public service announcement. And they've tried to make it funny by saying, and don't put it in your friend's butthole either. Basically, I think that they had quite a good idea here, and
they
weren't... They
got scuppered
they
by
were, they
like
were, they
health
said
regulation.
It, yeah. No, they were obviously told, if you can do this, but you have to make it clear that you can't actually use it, which kind of kills
defeats
it.
Defeats the object,
which
because
is
you want people to... You want the one or two people out there to actually use it,
but they,
have
but,
a tail.
But they
like,
still...
Yeah.
But they probably will, though. I think they're just covering their own backs, so to speak. By by saying definitely don't shove this up your ass. I think people probably will.
It's just, it is quite random, but also it's random because of the album.
Because it's funny. I'm interested. Who owns Liquid Death? Because that's got to cost you a fair old packet of money to do
they
that.
They seem to have endlessly deep pockets because they sponsor like every podcast I watch in America. They're always drinking Liquid Death. They did a similar thing to like Manscaped where it was nowhere, then it was just fucking everywhere all of a sudden. So I don't know who owns it.
We better just check quickly in case it's like, oh, it's Coca-Cola. We should have known that.
It's just some bloke, Mike Cesario.
He's an entrepreneur.
After attending the 2009 Warped Tour, Cesario realised bottled water lacked irreverent marketing like that of energy drinks. I think it's pretty fucking smart, to be honest. Like, a lot of the stuff that they do, the product itself is pointless, but it's just another expression of their kind of irreverent tone of voice and market positioning, which if you are a fan of like Blink 182 or whatever,
or the Kardashians,
or you're going to be far more likely to drink this than you are San Pellegrino. Shut the fuck up.
Not finishing my point.
No, it was a good point.
Not finishing it.
But it was good so far.
No.
Okay.
Well, I think it's quite a...
I think James is right, by the way. I agree with you, James.
I didn't say anything.
No, but I think it's a good point. Like, they've taken a gap in the market and they're running with it. Don't interrupt me, James. It reminds me a lot of the way they turn up. A bit of KFC in it. I don't know if you've seen like KFC do like crazy stuff sometimes.
Don't shove that up your ass.
Well, no, they do like nail polish. They do like horror film that we talked about. And that's sort of like a reverent way of just like acting. I think they're doing it to the extreme. And I quite respect it.
They do a lot of these kind of seemingly completely like random product launches. This one kind of makes sense to me. Because I mean, Blink 182 just got back together for the first time since 2014 and like headlined Coachella twice. They're kind of tapping into like an existing amount of attention that wasn't there previously. And well, the album was called Enema of the State, and they make water which goes in an enema, so it all fits together for perfectly.
And Travis Barker already has like a wellness brand. Exactly. He's kind of like the in person at the moment, so it does make a lot of sense. It's just bizarre, but then like you've mentioned in other podcasts, the brand is quite...
But that's the point. It's meant to be bizarre because it's meant to get idiots like us talking about it, isn't it?
Okay, so we're running out of time. So Pablo's final thoughts. Let's hear them, Pabs.
I hate it.
Okay.
Bottled water, oppressive. Sparkling water, gross.
Oh, I love sparkling.
Utilitarian gift.
You know you're not that prompting you're not meant to work.
He's speaking sentences.
Concept of sparkling bottled water, I hate it.
It's in a can.
Even worse. And just the idea of the gift, a very utilitarian gift that you're not supposed to use, sounds pretty empty to me, the whole thing, personally.
Like your bowels after you use it.
Hey. James, what do you think's made it in this week that you like, that you've heard round this table?
Cuthbert simply cannot go in for me because of all the reasons that I've said.
You're listed.
I would like Pablo's if I completely understood it, so I need to read that article. Mischief and Liquid Death kind of like fill the same gap in the market. So I don't know. I need to do some thinking. One of those at least is going in.
How are we going to find out what goes in?
They go to zachagency.com/call-sht.
Thanks for everyone. I will see you next week. And thanks for listening.
Goodbye. Bye.